Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Hello and welcome to this latest episode of the Property Exchange podcast, this time the London rental market. In this episode, we're focusing on the rental market in the capital, where rents have risen to record levels thanks to a shortage of stock. There are reports of rises of as much as 20% and even queues for any available property. But can this boom last? Will rents stabilise under pressure from affordability, or are there certain tenants who will pay whatever the cost for the right place? London always has new hotspots, and we'll be hearing about where they're emerging. Are these the places that landlords should be investing in? The conditions in London's rental market are fast becoming a political issue, embarrassingly since government policy has caused many of the problems. What should ministers be doing? To try and find out what's really going on, I'm joined by Winkworth CEO Dominic Agace. We also have two voices from the rental frontline in London, Rupal Patel, director of Winkworth Shepherd's Bush, and Adam Stone, lettings manager of Winkworth City and Clerkenwell. Welcome to you all. Now, I'm going to kick off with you, Dominic. I want an overview of the rental market. How did we get into this situation, which is so dire for renters looking for a place? Why are rents going up quite so sharply?
I think it's a bit of a perfect storm. The problem's been many years in the offing, I would say. I think there's been, you know, over the history of the rental market, it's the balance has been legislated between landlord and tenant, and it moves from one to the other. And the direction of travel is towards moving away from the landlord at the moment. Unfortunately, in some areas, that has led to landlords selling up. And that was sort of added to by, you know, the pandemic and the issues around for landlords then, and obviously not necessarily receiving rent and having to pay mortgages. So there are challenges there. There's also the other input, which is social housing. So there hasn't been enough social housing being built. There hasn't been, you know, there's not enough housing being built, full stop. So all of these have meant that supply has very much been squeezed. And now you add in the fact that there's a huge movement of people around the country based on moving, you know, rush for space in the country, rushing back to cities, lots of people coming to jobs for the first time, having, you know, been remote workers, if you like. That's given, you know, huge, put a fire under the demand side of things. So it very much has hit an acute part. And any time where you're talking about prices increasing by 20%, you know, over an 18-month period or so, that's huge and unsustainable. So it does need to be addressed.
Right. Affordability. When does the cost of living squeeze cap rent increases?
I think it's a very good question. Traditionally, it is always, rental prices have always grown at, you know, wage inflation plus one, really. It's been fairly steady with take-home pay being higher. When you look at the metric in a percentage takeover pay being higher spent in rentals in London than the country, but generally it being around 30% of take-home pay spent on rental accommodation. And in London around, I think it's got sort of 50%, but that's because of sort of sharing of properties. So it's traditionally followed that trajectory, but obviously it's under pressure and it's sort of breaking through that or set to break through that. So where history tells us that it wouldn't go further and it would abate, but there must be a ceiling in the end because it's purely driven by domestic wage. So it can't, people can't pay beyond what they can pay. So we haven't seen that yet, but I would expect in the year to come that the rises would slow, albeit they're still fairly high.
Now, the government surely must be concerned about this and aware that it's mishandled the situation. Could this lose the Tories the next election?
I think it's a political minefield for them. I think they're wedded to a path. And I think I can see why they're choosing that route. It is to legislate in the sector and continue to reform it to help renters. And that's admirable. We want higher standard of rental accommodation. I think there are other areas such as tax relief on interest payments that aren't necessarily about improving stock. They are purely about they've put landlords underwater. In other areas of the economy, you offset your interest against your tax bills. But in the vitalist sector, you do not. And, I can see they were pushing towards first-time buyer, but in part that's achieved by the additional 3% stamp duty for the second home purchase. So there are lots of challenges to it, and we want fundamentally, and what they need to focus on is how do you create more supply, because that will solve it. Standards will go up if there's competition for tenants. Rents will certainly stop going up if there's more availability. So they need to think. Not sort of try and step away from the political football that it is, and which they try and desperately to avoid being seen to be on a landlord or a tenant side, and look at the supply of the market generally and create policies that improve that supply. Build to rent is one of them, but it's just not going to come quickly enough to solve the current challenge.
So watch this space. Thanks, Dominic. Now I'm going to turn the debate over now to Rupal and Adam to get the view from the front line. First, with you, Rupal, tell us more about your patch, that Shepherd's Bush. It's a real mix of upmarket with the Westfield Shopping Centre and a couple of smart new hotels, but it's also quite gritty, isn't it?
Yes, the Westfield has completely changed the area, and we've got the Hoxton Hotel that's just opened up on the green. That side of the green has completely reformed now. We've got the White City Living new developments that have opened up, Askew Village. But you're right, there are parts of W12 Shepherd's Bush that are a little gritty, which is on the high street. They are going through this change over, I would say, in the next 3 to 5 years. You will see a huge change on that high street area.
So it's a typical inner city suburb with a mix of very smart, of areas of gentrification, but also areas that are a bit run down. So if I wanted to come and rent there, what would the typical rent be?
So a typical studio flat in the area would rent from anything from £1,200 to £1,300 per month. One bedroom's going from £15 to £17, and two bedrooms going up to about £2,250 per month.
That is extraordinarily high. How much more is that than a year ago?
The average rental in our area from this time to this time last year have gone up by about 20%. To give you an idea, last year we had a one bedroom that was rented out on the main road at £1,200 per month. This year we've actually just rented that this week. We had three competing offers ranging from £1,500 going all the way up to £1,600 per month. And they're actually paying 1 year's rent up front.
I think everybody who's listening to this will be entirely astounded. So tell me, Rupal, what kind of people are able to pay these rents?
So it's a young professional couple who have been looking in the area for, I would say, about a couple of weeks now. And this was their dream property, so they decided to pay for 1 year's upfront rent.
And it's the closeness to transport, the restaurants, because actually you're only 20 minutes on the bus from town, aren't you?
Correct. Yeah, you're 20 minutes from town. It was close to where they work as well, which was an important factor for them.
Right. Now, is there any one particular type of rental that's going faster than any other?
So there's always been seasonal trends for large houses. Having said that, 1 and 2 bedroom apartments are always renting, and they're renting very, very quick. To give you an idea, we took on a property around the corner from our office, actually, on the Friday. By Saturday morning, we had 17 new inquiries on this property.
So you heard it here, those queues for properties that you've been reading about in the press, it's quite true. Now, if I were a landlord listening to this, I'd be thinking there were some opportunities. And are you getting people approaching you wanting to get into that market?
I would love to say yes. Unfortunately, no, Anne. You know, a lot of landlords, existing landlords, are actually exiting the market. And there's a number of factors regarding this. And leading on from what Dominic said earlier, tax is a crucial element why they're leaving the market. But there's some new legislation that the government has launched or about to launch, which is creating landlords to leave the market. One, EPC regulations, which is energy performance certificates, the properties have to be band C or above. What this means is, I would say 50% of the landlords that we're currently dealing with are going to have to invest heavily in their properties to perhaps put new windows in, new insulation, new boilers. And the costing for this, the government had previously outlined the costing for this 10 years ago. Cost of material, cost of works have all changed since then. So it's not in line with what the cost is going to be today, unfortunately.
So all we can really see is upward pressures on rents to a level where people can't afford it anymore. Now, if I was looking in Shepherd's Bush and thinking, well, I just can't afford that area, where would you go, do you suppose?
Well, we're noticing a lot of tenants are sort of moving. Well, previously they were moving out to Ealing and Acton. Those areas have come up because of the Elizabeth Line. So they're actually going further afield as Southall, as well as Wembley. If they're going north slightly, they're going to the Kilburn area, and they're going as far as that.
So it's quite a worrying picture if you're a tenant, and it doesn't seem to be exactly good news for landlords either. Now, I'm going to turn to you, Adam. I want you to take us on like a quick guided tour to your areas. Very, very historic. Clerkenwell and the City of London. Clerkenwell first.
Clerkenwell is a very fashionable area. It's home to a lot of creative industries, a lot of design companies, IT and tech. So we have a lot of younger people and startup companies, things like that. It also is very historic with the architecture. So we get a lot of TV in production in the area. They're always filming. And obviously with Crossrail coming into Farringdon Station, it's become very popular like that. The number of universities, so we do get a lot of university students. The city itself is a little bit different, a little bit quieter, especially sort of after hours. We do find that a lot of finance professionals and bankers tend to be our main source of tenants for the city.
Now, the typical rent in each area, a nice loft apartment in Clerkenwell, what kind of cost per month?
Per month, for a one bedroom, on average, you're probably looking around $2,200 at the moment. And that would be for your standard sort of one bedroom. Up to the four bedroom, the HMOs or the family home, you could be looking anywhere sort of around £4,000 per calendar month.
So it is possible to find a house in Clerkenwell.
They are there. They are a little bit rarer because a lot of the time those houses have been occupied by people who have been living there for many, many years. But there are a number of HMOs that have come up over the last sort of 12 months that we've let out.
We move further east to the city. What kind of rent would you expect to be paying?
City prices are not too dissimilar, but they do have a few more executive-style apartments that can demand a higher rent, and we're sort of bordering into £4,500 per calendar month for some of the nicer ones.
Now, what's the ideal home? Do people dream of living in the luxe high-rise apartment near Spitalfields, or is it more the loft conversion in Clerkenwell?
Well, the loft conversions are very popular, of course, especially going towards Old Street. But we generally find that most people would like a Georgian conversion, especially on the lovely squares in around Amwell. So you've got Wilmington Square and lovely squares like that. They generally are very much sought after and what people come to us directly for. We find that a lot of overseas students, which is a huge factor in our market, they actually prefer the new build apartments with concierge and gym and things like that, which are springing up everywhere at the moment.
As I was saying to Rupal, it seems like there should be an opportunity for landlords, but are you seeing any new landlords emerging, or can the existing ones not make the sums work and are leaving the sector?
We actually, over the last 12 months, we've actually seen a rise in buy-to-let investors. Now, I'm thinking because of the weaker pound, they're jumping on opportunities in central London, and because the rents are so high, the sales market, whilst the team are doing a fantastic job, probably hasn't come back after the pandemic as much as what the lettings market has. And I think some investors are seizing an opportunity there. So we've only lost a few landlords that have gone onto the sales market. So it's not all doom and gloom, and we are finding a lot of overseas investors now coming on board.
So does that suggest to you that there could be some new stock emerging which could push down on rents?
Well, we hope. Unfortunately, I don't think that that's probably anything that's going to happen anytime soon, purely because of the government with the tax implications and all the other compliance issues that landlords need to deal with at the moment. It is a trickle coming through, which is fantastic, but I can't see that a lot of stock's going to suddenly appear on the market, which is going to force down rents anytime soon.
In Clerkenwell, is there one really hot street?
Like I said, the squares are very, very popular. We have a little area, Amwell Village, and the streets that come off that, they're lovely and green. They're generally where people want to go, and when they inquire, that they're the favoured spots.
And what's the hot address in the city?
Generally, it would be somewhere down near Fleet Street, actually, and then also going towards Bank. We find that a lot of bankers, finance, who just want properties, sometimes they're there just during the week, and then they go home to their family homes over the weekend, so they just need somewhere to rest their head. Those kind of apartments generally get taken straight away as well.
Now, if it's sad and you can't afford to rent in Clerkenwell in the city, where are clients going who are kind of priced out?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've actually had quite a number of tenants, and when it's come to renewal stage, and they've effectively just turned around and said, look, I can't afford to live here. The landlord's put the rent up. So we generally find that they might push a little bit more east over to Shoreditch, even to Hackney, and some even go south of the river and end up in London Bridge, Borough, Elephant Castle, those kind of areas. So central London at the moment is incredibly expensive.
Just like to get back to you, Rupal, on some more general advice. If you're a tenant, what should you do now to secure the best home? And if you're a landlord, what should you do to get the best rent and ensure long-staying tenants?
Well, for tenants, I would always give the advice that when putting your offer forward, always give a case for you renting the property. So always give a background story of who you are, what you are, why you want to be there. And just a story behind you is something a landlord would also look for, because at the end of the day, that is their asset. It's an important asset and they want it to be taken care of.
Interesting point you make there, Rupal, about preparing yourself as a tenant. But what do you think that landlords are really looking for in a tenant?
So landlords, yes, you know, price is a key factor, but ultimately they are renting out one of their most expensive assets. So they want to make sure that property is going to be taken care of. It's the right caliber of tenants that are going to be there. And if there was ever any work that was needed, they can communicate with these tenants. Someone whose job has got some sort of security with the current climate, without a doubt. Someone who's been at work for a number of years, something along those lines, something that makes them stand out from the crowd. Because there are multiple offers happening on every single property. And, you know, landlords can only accept one person. We're at least seeing 3 to 5 offers per property.
So it's almost like an audition for a property rather than just applying to be the tenant. Same question to you, Adam. Exactly what are landlords looking for? Is it a specific job or is it certain personality traits?
I think it probably would lean more towards personality traits than job. Obviously, the landlord would like a secure job. We have certain landlords who will only take tenants through our corporate team. So people working for some of the larger Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan sort of blue chip companies and things like that. But I mirror what RuPaul sort of said, just good tenants who are very transparent and honest and that are going to treat the property as if it was their own.
And for the landlord, what should they be doing just to get the very best rent, but also be providing a service to a really good tenant?
For the landlord, my advice would be new regulation is coming into place where you are going to have to bring up your properties to C standard or above. So any small tweaks you could do to the property, energy efficiency or anything along those lines, definitely invest now, because you'll gain from now for the next 2 years, plus then you're going to have to do the works anyway.
And over to you, Adam.
Look, tenants, I think in the current market, they need to act quickly. I don't think that they can sit at home and send through a Rightmove lead. We put on a property and overnight we get 120 leads in the summer period and the phone's ringing off the hook. They have to be proactive. They have to get down to the offices in person or phone the office. Sending through Rightmove leads, when you get 200 in a 48-hour period, it's very, very hard to secure a viewing. So I think tenants need to be proactive. Landlords, I think, with the compliance management, I think they need a reputable agent, because there is a lot of legislation and a lot of things coming in, get themselves fully managed to make sure that the properties are looked after and in the best shape to not only get the best rent, but to keep a tenant happy, to ensure they stay there for a long period.
Well, that's about it. Dominic, RuPaul and Adam, thanks very much for joining us for this episode of The Property Exchange. We really feel brought up to date with the latest trends in the London rental scene. Do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast, where we'll be tackling another hot topic from the world of property. If you want to know more, then be sure to subscribe.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.